right. Well, I guess we have a lot of people out with COVID, so that's something we ought to pray for, or quarantining, or I think we've been hit worse this time around than we were the first time around. Well, welcome. We have some people coming in. I'm going to open us up with prayer and with a few announcements. Well, let's do the announcements first. So, Sunday school, ladies, Sunday school, there, Sarah Galda will not, Sarah's class will not meet today. Pardon me. That's not part of the announcement. But my class will. We meet in the multi-purpose room. And today we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to, like, jump up and down. And, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about in English about the Holy Spirit. All right, so it'll be fine. Deacons, is Pastor Cuthbert. So our new pastor is arriving today, not in time for the service, but around 5:30 or so this evening. So if they're, and he's got all his gear, and all they're looking for today is some help in unloading the truck. So you're going to be there, Jason? Okay, I'll be there. Anybody who wants to help, you know, tote, if you feel like toting, you can show up around 5:30. And we'll probably be a half hour. We'll get him in and out. We're not going to set everything up. We're just going to help him move it in. Okay. So where's the sign-up sheet, Jason? So there's sign-up sheets in front and back. Yes, sign up and give your phone number. So in case he's delayed or something, Jason will keep us advised. Thanks for that, Jason. The stairwell outside the kitchen is closed today due to stair tread repairs. That's the one that leads downstairs right over here. Stair tread repairs. I don't know. I guess you do have to replace stair treads, right? Sooner or later. It will be accessible again this week. Okay, decorating for Christmas will take place this coming Saturday, 11:27 at 10 a.m. Everyone is invited to help. And there's a little note here. Many hands make light work. There are various other Chinese sayings I could never mind. Anyway, performers needed for Christmas music night. Looking for people to perform solos, duets, musical instruments, poetry, scripture reading, other readings, and more. Sign-up sheet is on the welcome table nearest the gym. Now, what is the date of that service? That's December 12th. It's not, the announcement said Christmas music night, or maybe I said Christmas night music. It's not Christmas night. It's December 12th, 6 p.m., So if you have any musical skill at all, we'd like to hear from you. Even if you don't, that'd be fine. All right, let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your goodness to us. We pray for, we know we have a lot of people who are not well or who are quarantining because of the COVID. And we pray for, the safety of all of our people and really of all people. This is, we thought we were done with this thing, and maybe we're not, Lord. And we can all argue about why we are or why we aren't, but the fact is that we are, we're here in the church, and we have a lot of people who are not well or concerned, and we need to be sensitive to everybody's circumstances. And so we pray for them. We pray that this would soon be over. We pray that we would use it as an opportunity to depend on you and not anybody else, Father. At the end of the day, you're sovereign and you do all things well. And we believe that, at least we say we believe that, but help us to believe that and help us to turn and look to you. Father, we pray for today for the service. We ask for your blessing on David. It's great to hear from him again after many years. And we just pray that you would help him to tell us what we need to hear. And Father, help us to put aside the cares of the day and the things that we all have to do today, the things we have to do to get ready for Thanksgiving, and help us to take this time to worship you today in spirit and in truth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, carry on.
Let's stand.
Oh, for a thousand times.
seated.
Thank you. I've always loved that hymn. And if you believe that, then, you know, you'll be all right. God, he reigns. He's sovereign. He's in control. And if you don't believe that, then, you know, maybe you're not in the right place. I don't know. But I'm not going to kick anybody out today of this. But no, it's a reason for real hope. Sometimes it looks like it's not the case. And there's a great piece in the end, part in the end, and there's a Christmas carol that says that too. It's a poem anyway. Though the wrong seems all so strong, God is the ruler. Yeah, isn't there? I can't think of the poem. It's a Christmas. I'll think of it anyway. Today's reading is from Acts, and it's a long one, so buckle up. And it's a very familiar passage. It's Acts chapter 11, and it's, I don't know, the Hall of Faith, it's sometimes called. You know, there's in it, but it's a really great passage. So your bulletins or your order of service say it's Hebrews 11, but that's a typo. Either that or the scripture I was given was a typo, but this is the one I'm going to read. So, all right, Acts 11, 1 to 40. Now, faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it the people of old gained approval. By faith they gained approval. By faith we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous. God testified about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he is and that he exists, this is a different version, that he exists, and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he left, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of wife, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, even from one man, and one who was as good as dead, at that there were born descendants who were just as the stars of heaven in number, and as the innumerable grains of sand along the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they have been thinking of that country which they left, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and the one who had received the promises was offering up his only son. It was he to whom it was said, "Through Isaac your descendant shall be named." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders according to his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered as though seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after the Israelites had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mocking and flogging and further chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, people of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts, on mountains, and sheltering in caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. So if you just, if you can just remember that God is sovereign and he's in control and faith is the key to everything, it's not a bad day of learning. And then whatever David has to say would just be icing on the cake, right, David? All right. Thank you. Let's sing.
Let's stand. On us, that we should be called his sons and daughters, precious in his sight. Greater love this world has never seen. When he hung on that tree, oh, why would he do such a thing?
Be seated. Well, I think for most of us, probably for all of us, David needs no introduction. When did you leave here, David? 2013? 12? It's been almost 10 years, and I don't think he's changed a bit. Really, look at him. I mean, he hasn't changed a bit. Now, David Jr. has changed. He looks like an undercover drug cop. No, that's not an ouch. It's a good thing. And Abby, it's nice to see you, Abby. Welcome. David, carry on.
Thank you, John. 2 tam nangaza Yesu nibwana. Buona Asafiwe. I proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm speaking Swahili. You guys know Swahili, right? Hakuna Matata, right? No problems, no worries. Greetings from the Grange family. A couple of us are here as well. And Lisa sends her love, her greetings from Philadelphia. She's worshiping with the Congolese this morning, hearing Swahili and English at the same time. But it is good to be back with y'all. And yesterday I was here as well, and we celebrated the good news of Jesus Christ as we remember the life of Mary Grace, and it was good to praise the Lord for His goodness and His kindness. And so it is good to be here. Welcome to those watching on the live stream, and that camera, Danny, I want one. That's a nice one. Of course, the live stream is now part of the accoutrements of church these days, and so we are doing the same things. You can catch us if you want on the YouTube channel Sac Philly. If you'd like to keep up with us every so often. But thank you to the elders, the missions committee, for the invite to be here. It is, again, so good to be here, and thank you so much for your prayers, your support, your love. Indeed, it's you've been so very good to us over the years. I pastored this church for 9 years, and you've supported us for 9 more years in Philly. And yes, as John said, it will be, believe it or not, 10 years next year. I will never forget, as we were heading south to Philly, the van was crammed to the rafters, and I got a phone call from Tom Barlow, and he was the deacon chairman at the time, and I almost drove off the road as I was talking to him. He said, "We, the church, want to give you 3 months' salary as you get started in your new ministry." And indeed, what a blessing. It indeed helped us get off to a good start. And now, praise God, we are fully supported. And that's thanks in large part to your kindness and your generosity and your presence. I can't see the screen. I don't know if that's possible. No, that's not possible. All right, but if we could advance the screen, I've got some pictures of some of the folks that came down. Back in 2017, yeah, they came down with their dumpster. Actually, we brought the dumpster, but we cleaned out the church. You guys built our food pantry, which is to this day, being used. More on that a little bit. In fact, yesterday we served 190 families, and through it, we are reaching a new ethnicity. More about that to come. So yeah, Pastor Josh preached as well. But I want to congratulate you on the call of your new pastor, and be praying for him and his ministry with you. You know, it has been a rough patch, hasn't it, these past year, this couple years now, it seems to not end. But, you know, God is taking care of us. He is He's blessing us in new ways, surprising ways. So we can indeed say praise the Lord this morning. Buona Asafiwe. And for me, it's the big 6-0 next year, and the black balloons and all that, but we're going to make it, right? My role is changing at the in Philadelphia at the church. We call ourselves Sac Philly. I'm now the bishop. No, not really. But Bishop Dave, Bishop Dave does have a nice ring to it. I'm essentially overseeing the congregations that are in the church. We have 6 congregations that meet there, and we are hoping to call a new pastor ourselves. We see an opportunity in our neighborhood for second, third generation immigrants and refugees who actually speak English as their heart language. They came over with their parents, maybe, but they've been educated in the public schools, and they know English better than their native tongue. And sure, they can understand when grandma yells at them, but they are coming out to our youth programs, and we anticipate that we can reach this generation, these second, third, even fourth generation, when it comes to the Cambodians in our neighborhood. So we're praying for that. But in the meantime, for us, for me specifically, it's build it and they will come, working hard to make our church a welcoming place. I see myself as a bridge builder to networks of different ministries in our neighborhood, and just to volunteers in general. We can pop up these images again. We've been working hard, building some big ticket items. We built a cool room this past winter last year, I should say. And Dave came down and did some work for us, and so we appreciate that. Here's the final product. All you have to do is stick an air conditioner in a room, and I mean, it turns into there's a little other technical aspect to that, but it works great now. We've done some major repairs on our roof. Still in issues, but the big hole that was there has been replaced. And just now we're working on on making a multi-purpose room out of our chapel. We're ripping up the floor, putting in new carpet, and it's underway. The work is continuing as I speak. So as we make our building usable, functioning with a good functionality, then we believe that people will come. And we have some really some different ideas for effects. We wouldn't mind playing volleyball in that room. Now you say, what? And that seems a little crazy, but it's actually pretty high ceilings. But volleyball in our neighborhood is a little different than in your neighborhood. It's called sepak takraw, and you can't use your hands. You can only use your feet, and it's like a glorified hacky sack, if you remember that. And a lot of our Southeast Asian folk play it, and wow, come on in the church in the winter and play it. Let's have a contest. Let's have a competition. You know, the world is coming to us in South Philadelphia, and we hear that more refugees are coming to our city. Our daughter Annie, who wanted to be here but couldn't be, she's a nurse, and she's serving the Afghan refugees that have come into Philadelphia and then gone over to New Jersey and Fort Dix. The 23,000 Afghan refugees have come in through the Philadelphia airport, and it's exciting to see the opportunity that this presents. A country that Afghanistan sealed off from the gospel almost with the situation, the political situation there. But now these refugees are coming, and they're getting a better life. And better yet, they're getting closer to the good news, the word of God. We've seen an outpouring of support in the Christian community for the Afghan refugees, and we're praising God asking God if he could use us in serving that community somehow. But you know, the refugee crisis continues globally. You might remember we have three children adopted from Ethiopia. And right now, Ethiopia is in the throngs of civil war, and they are grieving for their home country. 400,000 or so refugees have been displaced from parts of Ethiopia, and the capital, Addis Ababa, is maybe even under attack shortly, which will result in a lot of displacement and difficulty. Those who are displaced are facing starvation and famine. But you know, I praise God that our country has been a welcoming place for the refugee and of course the immigrant. And indeed, immigrants are what make America great. I was talking to Pastor Rick English at the Riverside Baptist Church, and I said, "Well, how's Riverside?" And he says, It's going well. I don't know if you know this, but 5,000 Karen, these are Burmese refugees, have resettled in Riverside, and the neighborhood is on the upswing. And we have Karen in our church, and they're one of our star congregations, I like to call them. And here's a little quick story about the Karen people. They were originally evangelized by a guy named Adoniram Judson. You remember hearing that name? He left New England, got in a boat, and he was a Congregationalist. Then he got converted to be a Baptist on the boat. But anyway, he experienced incredible hardship, but he was able to reach the Karen people of all the tribes of Burma. He reached primarily the Karen. And since then, the Karen have come under a lot of persecution, and there's been some war and such, and many of them had to flee the country to go to Thailand, and the United States opened up opportunities for the Karen to come here. And, so it's sort of like like a full cycle here, how what started by American missionary Judson is now returned. The people have come here to live and to worship God and to praise God. We have our Baptist, our Corinne Baptist Church that meets in our church. We had an overrun on our building. It was $10,000 more. I didn't know where the money was going to come from. We didn't have it in our bank account, and so I asked. I just started putting the word out and told the churches, "Can you help?" And a couple weeks later, the pastor came down to our house and handed me an envelope filled with $5,000 worth of cash for that purpose. And so we're thankful. We're thankful for our refugees and an opportunity to serve them. And thank you for your help allowing us to do that. Well, my message today is entitled simply "The Foundation of Our Good Works," which is, should work, there we go, Thanksgiving. And no surprise, I want to talk about thankfulness here as we're approaching Thanksgiving. Hope you're all ready for it. Of course, the world pauses for Thanksgiving to give thanks, but we don't need a special day, do we, to be thankful? The Christian is thankful always and in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus." And I would submit to you today that Thanksgiving isn't just an attitude. It isn't only words of appreciation to God from our heart, although it certainly is that. No, the scripture tells us there's more to Thanksgiving. And my hope today, as I come to you, is to encourage you to pursue thankfulness in your lives with greater passion. And there will be a greater result in your life, a greater good in your life. Let me explain. Indeed, Thanksgiving is both a response to blessing, right? It's also a return of blessing. A response to blessing and a return of blessings. What do I mean? Well, to start, I want to ask a question that has been asked probably down through the centuries by philosophers and the like, and certainly Christians need to ask this question, and that question is, why do we do good? Why should we do good? And I know in this room, I'm pretty sure that there's no debate that we should do good. A nod of the head would be appropriate, yeah. Nod of the head or an amen. By the way, you can say amen. I'm used to a little more feedback, so maybe we could special dispensation today. You can get louder. But no. We all believe that, right? We believe that Christians should be known by our love and our good works. We are supposed to do good. The Christian life is doing good for the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And before the Apostle Paul said those words, our Lord Jesus demonstrated that life, right? Acts chapter 10, picking up here in 37, but I think 38 is the verse there on the screen. Yeah, you know that that what has happened. This is Peter speaking. He said, "You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." Yes, our call as Christians is to do good. Amen? Amen. To seek to alleviate suffering in this world. Not to brag on my kids, but, you know, we always brag on our kids. But Abby was come back just from Eastern Congo, devastated by the ongoing wars. And I guess wars is the word. The strife there. And she worked through Jericho Road for 2 weeks and was able to, through her medical knowledge, able to alleviate some of the suffering. Yeah, we try to alleviate some of the suffering in the world. And we also, of course, share the good news that if received, if believed, will prevent eternal suffering for those who receive the Savior. But why should we do good? It's commanded of our Lord. But what is our motivation for good works? And maybe you're saying that, wait a minute, that's my problem. I lack a motivation for good works. I'm, you know, raise your hand, right? There's days where I just don't feel like doing good works, walking in those works that God has prepared for me to walk in beforehand. You know, I'm stuck, I'm tired, or I'm just busy. Or maybe, you know, if we're honest, sometimes we just don't care. So what's it going to take to get us to live in the call of those good works that God has prepared for us to walk in? Well, you know, there are some motivations that you'll hear for doing good works. And there are some good ones and there's some not so good ones. And a couple not so good ones would be, first of all, that we try to do our good works to please God, to earn his favor, for merit, for the hope of merit. But of course, we know that in Christ we have received all the favor we ever need. And we don't need to bribe God, as it were, or try to influence God by our good works for him to bless us. Although, by the way, do good works and you will be blessed. another motivation sometimes, and this is really where I want to avoid today, is to be guilted. That's pastors have been known to do that. There's the fear of man. I'm going to do good works because I want to impress somebody. I want people to think well of me, my church. But what is the highest, biggest, best, strongest motivation for good works? And the Bible's answer, it may surprise you, but the Bible's answer, the best and strongest answer, motivation rather, to get good at good works is gratitude. Get good at good works. Gratitude or thankfulness. And two scriptures, and I've saved you the trouble, but you can look them up. They're both in Romans. We'll start in Romans chapter 12. Two scriptures we want to consider this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, a familiar passage, but maybe you'll see it a little differently today. Paul writes, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then turn back to Romans 6, 13. Romans 6, 13, it says there, do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So if you have those two in mind, in fact, why don't we pop up both of those verses? Thank you. You won't find the word thanksgiving or the phrase be thankful in those verses. Look as hard as you like. You learn that there. But what will you find? You find the gospel in there. Back to Romans 6:13, it says, having been brought from death to life. That's the gospel, the good news. Romans 12:1, we have received the manifold mercies of God. That is the gospel. This amazing news that we have heard, and we sang about it today. I had nothing to do with the song choice today, but it was incredible. Thank you, whoever chose those songs. It really fit well with my message. But indeed, as we sang those songs, weren't you filled with thanksgiving today? Amen? Amen, yes. Are we not thankful people? Are we not the most thankful people in the whole wide world? Okay, of course we are. But the Bible, you know, the Bible doesn't view thanksgiving as just giving nice words, or even a nice feeling, nice happy thoughts, but that's part of it. No, what is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is a glad response to blessing, but it's also a return of blessing. Yeah, this is what it is. The good news is so good, and as it has an effect. It has a transformational effect. Having been brought from death to life, there is a change. There is a progression. We have gone from death to life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And now we are thanking him. So we've gone from death to life, to thanksgiving, to worship, and to service. Our thanksgiving, if we do enough of it, it's going to grow legs. Legs and arms and hands. We're going to go and do good for others, for the world. And that's what Paul is getting at here in these verses as he brings in the gospel and reminds us that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that we are to use our bodies as instruments not of unrighteousness but of righteousness. I like this quote. The Christian is one whose every thought, word, and deed is controlled by the knowledge that God has brought him or her from death to life. Yes, because of Christ's great work, our lives have been repurposed. We used to be self-centered objects of wrath. Now we've become other-centered living sacrifices. We suddenly find a new reason, or our reason, rather, to exist is to do the world good. Yeah, what's happening here? What's happening here? Are you aware of this? We're becoming like Jesus. He who came into the world and did good, who came into the world and did good and brought healing to those who were under the power of the devil. And we are now commissioned and empowered to do good and to rescue those who are under the power of the devil. And as we do that, what motivates us? What's the engine behind our desire? Behind this new purpose? Because being a living sacrifice, raise your hand, does that sound fun? You know. The problem with being a living sacrifice is that we can always crawl off the altar, right? You know, we need some push behind us. And what is that push, everybody? Thankfulness. Thanksgiving. It's a responding to and a returning of God's mercies and grace. But let's face it, doing good, being a living sacrifice, as I already said, isn't always easy or fun. Talk a little bit about our food pantry ministry, which of course was glad to give you the credit for helping us start, and thank you again. But during the pandemic, we were doing sort of the mobile food pantry thing. We dropped the food off and knock on the door and run away. It wasn't that bad, but it felt like that. Not much interaction. But as the pandemic morphed and we began to come across more food, we had more opportunity to give more away. So we opened up the church, and before you know it, we had a whole crowd every Saturday morning. This past Saturday, gave away. Lisa, who runs it very well, gave away 190 boxes of food and then bags and different things of food to our neighbors. And, you know, so we are seeing this ministry grow, and it's a lot of work. We'd have to drive and pick up the food. It's also been a little... There's been some problems with our neighbors. They get angry at us for some of the behavior of the people that come out. In the beginning, we started at 12 o'clock, and as the word got out, people would start showing up at 6:30 in the morning. And before you know it, by 8 o'clock, there was a big group of people, and they were loud, and people were still sleeping, of course, and we got a lot of complaints, and the people were also pushy, or they didn't understand our language, so they don't understand English very well, and if we change things up, there's sort of a mob mentality, sort of seems that people get really upset. I had to escort one guy out because he was hitting my wife in his enthusiasm. It wasn't a literal punch, but I mean, he was just all over the place, angry, and we had to draw the line there. And, you know, I should say, you know, ethnically, the ethnicity of this group is primarily Chinese. They speak Mandarin. And I was beginning to think, I think we're just missing this. We're just, you know, we don't speak Mandarin. They don't seem to understand English, or maybe conveniently don't understand English. But, you know, should we continue this? And yet the people kept coming. And then three Christians who happened to speak Mandarin started coming, and we began to be able to communicate better, and it turned into our relationships actually became less hostile. And then our van was broken into and out of commission for 2 months, but then God gave us access to a box truck, which was even better for carrying the food. And now the truck comes, there it is, the truck comes, and guess who's helping us unload the 200 plus boxes of food? No, wrong. Yeah, that's not the kind of feedback I wanted, but Beggars can't be choosy. It's amazing. And now we're offering ESL to our Chinese food pantry people, and they're coming out. What is happening here? Again, I wake up some Saturday morning and say to my wife, why are we doing this? We could be sleeping in today. We could be doing something else today. And, you know, I guess I'm getting a little jaded, but I don't really care if these people go hungry. I mean, this is not me spiritually, so don't ask for a refund. But, yeah, this is what I think. This is what we think, don't we? You know, doing good isn't always the attaboy that you want it to be. You know, but as God worked on me and I saw these things happening, I realized that I really do care about these people. South Philadelphia is a very diverse, ethnically diverse neighborhood. There's pockets of different ethnicities that we obviously haven't reached. Now we're reaching the Chinese population. They're very insular, but God can break through. Amen. He can bring His gospel to those people. But you know what keeps me going? I think what keeps me going is that I'm so thankful that God has saved me, and I want to see others saved. I want them to partake, to know the joy that I have in following Jesus. And He has given me a new heart, a new attitude, so I'm transformed. And so I am becoming like Christ, who sacrificed everything to come to serve us. And He suffered everything, didn't He? He suffered hell for us so that He could save us. My inconvenience there of spending my Saturday with a bunch of pushy, seemingly ungrateful people who don't look like me, who don't think like me, who don't talk like me, so what? By the mercies of God, because I have been brought from death to life, I can be a living sacrifice. I can love and serve, do good. In fact, I'm no more lovable than these Chinese people. Yet Christ got up for me. He got up from His throne and entered our world, was born in a cold stable, and as a young child had to flee as a refugee to Egypt. And then He grew up only to be misunderstood by His family, rejected by His own people, and nailed upon a cruel Roman cross. Yeah, I think I can get up. He did that for me. We can do it for others who so desperately need to hear His message. Thanksgiving. Have you ever asked yourself, to love is to obey, and you said to yourself, I always thought love was just a warm feeling or maybe doing something for somebody else, but Jesus says to love is to obey. Okay, I'm going with that. Jesus said so, right? And you know what else He says? He doesn't say it this way, but to do good is to thank Him. By the mercies of God, we become a living sacrifice. They go hand in hand. I get thankful when I remember what I've done, when I sing it to, like this morning, God has done for me, how He has taken me from death to life. And so let me ask you, as I bring this sermon to a close, do you have the disposition of a thankful heart? The Christian calling is rendered impossible without it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, if we could pop that up, says, whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Through what you do for God is always in the attitude with the heart of thankfulness. Gratitude is not an optional virtue, but a vital one that sustains the others. Only a grateful response to God's gospel ministry can make us obedient from the heart. And that's the kind of obedience that God wants. Not the obedience out of fear or guilt or what it's going to give me or how I'm going to impress people. No, He wants an obedience from the heart, a heart of thankfulness. You know, I think of the tradition of this church. I love Mill Grove Bible Church. I always will. You guys called me back in, I think it was 2012 or 2002. Wow. Almost 20 years ago. And I remember, do you remember right here, the folks from Brylin that came out? And we served them. There was a Bible study there. They, we took the Bible study into Briarlin. And of course, they eventually closed down Briarlin. But yeah, that was a tradition. That was what this church is about. A tradition of serving other people. Now, I was just down and did a little tour. I got here a little early this morning and saw the food pantry and the clothing closet. Boy, I really want to shop here. I'm tempted to come down and come back and go shopping here. You got some nice stuff down there. You guys are a serving church. And I will pray that Millgrove will continue to be a place known for its service of others and love for God. I hear that your new pastor is outreach focused. And I'm sure it'll be marked by service. Indeed, not only service, but the Word of God. We as we preach the Word of God, we are Christ's ambassadors, sharing the good news and doing His good works. And because we are, just as Christ did, we can know that God was God was with him, and that God is with us as we do His good works. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you've done for us, brought us from death to life. Oh, indeed, even in times of pandemic and political uncertainty and inflation and all the issues we face right now, we can thank you. You are our God taking care of this world. We thank you that you are taking care of us, using us for your purpose. And now, Father, as we consider what you've done, we pray that that would indeed motivate us. Your word demonstrates that gratitude is that motivation, that highest, biggest, best motivator for us as we would serve your world, serve those around us. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us. Help us to be passionate about thankfulness. Find it in everything, but especially in your gospel. We pray that you would bless us. Bless this church. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, David. I heard I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but there's a kind of a famous pastor in America who I like, and he was getting some criticism because a lot of the outreaches of his church, you know, weren't overtly what's the term I'm looking for? They weren't, you know, they weren't overtly evangelical. They were doing a lot of good works. And people said, well, that's not the gospel. And he gave a sermon on it, and he said this. He said, the gospel is more than good works, but it's not less. You probably know who I'm talking about. Okay. Anyway, and that always stuck with me. Okay, anyway, that's all. Do we have a song? No? Why are you sitting at the piano? Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah, okay. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. You can tell this is an amateur hour. We're going to get a new pastor. It's all going to be straightened out. You'll see. All right. Thank you. You're dismissed.